person is, think of a message maybe on the theme for July 4th, you can think of, well, what can I do for my country? You know, whether you are a citizen of America or a citizen of any other nation, you know, somebody is concerned, many times people are concerned for the country they live in. And tonight we're going to look at three simple decisions that each one of us can make that will encourage our country to go in the right direction. You know, is it important the direction our country goes in? Well, it can have a big impact upon missions. It can have an impact upon the spread of the gospel. It can have a great impact upon our lives. Now, obviously, we can stand for truth and righteousness no matter what takes place in our country. You know, but God has uniquely worked in the United States of America. And we have much to be thankful for in the nation that we have. Paul read those great quotes by people, many of them great leaders in our country. And, you know, there's a lot of people today that probably have no idea that our leaders stated those things about God's word. You know, it's concerning just the state of people in our nation today. You know, just a couple, like two different people in the last month that I've talked to. And you know, one of them was a lady. I'd been in this place a couple times. I hadn't given her a tract, and I gave her a tract one day. And all of a sudden, you know, Micah was with me, and all of a sudden you could see her face kind of change. And you could tell, okay, what's up here? And then she said, I'm a Buddhist. And, I mean, she's a lady in her probably 60s and just, you know, a white lady. You would never think of her being a Buddhist. And, you know, she proceeded to say something like, well, you know, you should study, you know, Islam. And just kind of talking about, you know, basically saying how it's such a positive, you know, religion. And, you know, it was a couple weeks earlier than that, somebody at the farmer's market who said something about, well, you know, she just couldn't accept that Jesus Christ was the only way because there are so many good Muslims out there. And I'm not saying there's not people that are Muslims that have some positive traits, but these people do not understand the real nature of Islam. I remember somebody that was going to be a missionary to a strongly Islamic area. And that person was thinking about, okay, what's going to happen when these people get saved? I'm probably going to have to provide a job for them. I mean, they're going to be completely ostracized from society. They're not going to have anything. And, you know, when you really understand what Islam is about, you have a different perception of it. Now, obviously, those people need the gospel. We need to love them, and we need to care for them, and we need to be concerned about them. But it's not a religion that you want overtaking the United States. It's something that, you know, you look at strongly Islamic countries, and what do they want to do? They want to squelch the gospel. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But what are three simple decisions that each one of us can make tonight? First of all, let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. And the first decision that we can make is to choose righteousness. Choose righteousness. You know, a nation is made of people. People make up a country. And Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, a familiar verse, but it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, tonight, each one of us in our daily lives can make the simple decision to choose righteousness. You know, there's various ways that can come out. It can be in the words we say. It can be in the direction that we choose for our life. It can be when we're in the grocery store. You know, we're deciding what we're going to buy. We can buy righteous things. We can buy evil things. It's how we interact with one another. Are we going to choose righteousness? What we choose to look at, you know, when you're on the internet. What you choose to watch, what you choose to turn it on and listen to on your radio. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, you in your personal life can either choose to exalt our nation or put it down. And many times we can get into a comparison thing where we look at other people and we say, boy, we're so much better than them. But yet, every time we make a decision against righteousness, it's having a negative impact upon the country in which we live. You know, it's saddening to see how much sin is just going rampant in our country and in so many people's lives. And they don't understand the negative impact that that sin is having upon our nation. You know, as we as Christians need to make sure that we are choosing righteousness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is your life shining righteousness? Is it exalting our nation or is it bringing it down? I think the Apostle Paul is a great example of one who chose righteousness. I'd like us to go to Acts chapter 27. And just look at a few ways that he was a light in amidst the darkness that he was in. Acts chapter 27. First of all, or in Acts chapter 27, we find Paul, you know, as a prisoner on a ship. So there's a couple hundred people on this ship. Paul is a prisoner on this ship, but notice how he exalted righteousness. Notice how he shone brightly for Christ on the ship. Notice verse number 10. They're on the ship. They're going to be on this voyage, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And then verse number 22, he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, Paul is a prisoner, but Paul isn't acting like a prisoner. All right, I see him providing spirit-filled leadership for those on the ship. He didn't just sit hunkered down in a corner and think, woe is me, I'm a prisoner, what am I going to do here? But he's there providing spirit-filled leadership. He was in tune with God, and God was giving him direction, and Paul was standing up and seeking to give that direction to those on the ship. You know, if we're going to be people that choose righteousness, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And I believe Paul was that. He wasn't going to just sit down and do nothing, but he was providing leadership here to those on the ship. In verses 33 and 34, it says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Now remember, Paul's a prisoner. But what is he doing? He is taking leadership here on the ship and making a positive impact upon others because he was spirit-filled. Secondly, I see him publicly proclaiming his faith. Notice verse number 23. As he's talking about there's not going to be any loss of any man's life. And he says, verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Notice him publicly proclaiming his faith, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, Paul was willing to stand up and proclaim the faith that he had in God amongst everybody there. He was not ashamed of what God had said to him, and he was not ashamed to stand up and say it in front of others. Obviously, he believed what God had told him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been willing to go out on a limb and tell the other people there what God had said. Do we have that same willingness to publicly proclaim our faith in front of others? You know, I find myself so many times, maybe I should have said something. I mean, people out there have so many false opinions, and I mean, obviously we need to be careful and, you know, wise as serpents in how we say things. But are we willing to stand up and proclaim what is right? I see number three, he publicly prayed for his food. Verse number 35. So he told them about eating. And then verse 35, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all." Notice that. "And when he had broken it, he began to eat." He publicly prayed for his food. You know, what's one simple thing we can choose, one simple way we can choose righteousness? You know, when you're in a restaurant, don't be afraid to pray for your food. You know, don't feel like you have to say a little 5-second prayer because you don't want to, you know, look too different because you're praying for your food. You know, sometimes that can be actually a conversation piece with someone else as they see you praying for your food. And here Paul was willing to what? In front of everybody. It says, you know, it's kind of interesting how the Bible says, in presence of them all, he publicly thanked God for the food. Just a simple way that we can choose righteousness. Now, I heard an illustration of the man that was in charge of neighborhood Bible time. It was Charles Holmshire. And, you know, if one of the things they had to do was when they were in a restaurant, and, you know, he's trying to train these guys to not be afraid of anything. They got to lead these basically like vacation Bible schools. And so if when they stood up and prayed in a restaurant, they would have to pray loud enough that everybody in the restaurant could hear them. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating doing that, but, you know, I think it is important that we aren't, you know, we don't need to be ashamed. You know, God's the one that's given us that food. I'm not saying we need to stand up. I mean, that, you know, might look a little like a little extra weird. We don't need to try to make ourselves weird. But anyways, we need to publicly pray. He publicly prayed for his food. And I also see that the Apostle Paul passionately witnessed. You know, he was willing to pay the price to witness to the leaders, to the kings. You know, people are saying, hey, the one that bears this coat, this girdle, is going to die. Or he's going to, I can't remember exactly what the verse says, we can go back and look at it, but was going to be in danger. You know, Paul wasn't going to be persuaded. He knew, you know, he, I believe, knew what God's will was for him. And even in this vision, God said that he was going to go before Caesar. And Paul was willing to stand up and publicly proclaim his faith. He was willing to go through the hardships of being a prisoner. Now, God was merciful to him many times, and there was liberties that he was given so that he might give the gospel in those situations. We need to choose righteousness. You know, you may say, well, it doesn't seem like my life could make any difference in such a wicked society. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. You know, what does the Bible say we need to do in a wicked and perverse day? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Notice, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Then it says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, God wants us to be the light. We may live in a crooked and perverse nation, and there's a lot of wickedness all around us. But we are to be what? We are to shine as lights. You know, what's your flashlight battery like tonight? You know, how many of you like going outside and the flashlight battery is barely working? You know, sometimes I'm out, you know, working at night and I've got a headlight. Well, I don't like it when my headlight's dim and you can barely see. I like the fresh batteries that provide a lot of light. It's so much easier to do things. Well, many times as Christians, it's like our light is becoming that battery that's running on low. you know, it can't be seen very well. You know, is your light shining brightly? The closer we get to the world, what happens? The less our light shines. But the closer we get to God, the more we can reflect His light to those around us. You know, even on a dark night, when you have you can have the darkness, you can have no light, but when that moon is shining brightly, it's amazing what it does in the dark and how it illuminates the light around us. You know, are we reflecting God's light in the dark world in which we live? In this context, one simple way is to not complain. How many times do you hear people complaining about the weather? You know, today, did you hear anybody complain about the weather? You know, and then it's when it's 0 degrees, people are complaining it's too cold. I mean, obviously it's some beautiful days, but it's so easy to complain. Well, you know, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings that you may be blameless and harmless. Now, it may not specifically be talking about the weather, but that could be put in there. You know, who gives us the weather? Well, God does. And so don't complain. Always stand for God's word. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. And we need to learn to choose righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation. And just the simple things of life, like not complaining, you know, can have an impact on those around us. Are you choosing righteousness? Secondly, let's go to Psalm number 33, another familiar verse. Psalm 33, and then also verse 12 and Psalm 144 and verse number 15. I'm going to read Psalm 144:15, then we'll come to Psalm 33. It says, Psalm 144:15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. You know, secondly, what can we do for our nation? We can love God supremely. You know, there may be plenty of people that reject God, that God is not their Lord. But tonight, we can choose to love God supremely. You know, imagine in Sodom, if there would have been more people that would have loved God. All it would have taken was what? 10 people for the city to be spared. But there weren't. Really, the only righteous one, you know, the Bible refers to righteous Lot. Just Lot. And even he was a sorry example of what a Christian ought to be. But all it would have taken was 10 people. You know, are we loving God supremely? America has many gods. Who is your God? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, whose system do you love? Do you love this world system that's in rebellion against God? Or do you love God's way of doing things? Do you love Him supremely? You know, are you doing an excellent job at your work to promote yourself? Or are you doing an excellent job at work because you want to properly reflect on the excellent God that you serve? You know, are we loving God in all areas of our life? Are we doing a good job because we want to reflect properly upon God? Or are we doing a good job because everyone else in the world might be doing a good job to promote who? Promote themselves. But ultimately, we need to love God supremely. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then thirdly, the third simple decision that we can make is to pray. Boy, how much our nation needs prayer. You know, you think of let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You think of, I mean, really some of the blessings that we've had in our country as of recent. Here we have, you know, a Supreme Court justice that's about ready to be nominated. You know, our nation needs prayer. Our president needs prayer. This is an important decision that is before him. And, you know, prayer does change things. And are we willing to take the time to pray? 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray that God would give them the wisdom that they need to make righteous decisions. We need to pray for their salvation. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, God was concerned for the leaders of Paul's day. How do we know that? God specifically put Paul, so to speak, in bonds. Why? So that he could witness to those that were in authority. Those were the Roman leaders. And yet God wanted the gospel to go forth. We need to pray for their salvation. You know, prayer does have an effect. God can change hearts. Proverbs chapter 21, you know, in verse number 1. The Bible says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I think of the example of Nehemiah. Nehemiah prayed, and I'm going to turn there, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11. He prays before the Lord. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And what happens? He goes before the king, and God blesses Nehemiah as he comes in before the king. You know, Nehemiah prayed, and God answered his prayer. In Hezekiah, it talks about, or not Hezekiah. Boy, there we go. I just learned the books of the Bible, and I'm talking about Hezekiah. It serves me right. One time at Maranatha, there was somebody that was newer. I don't think they had been saved that long, and I saw him eating something, and right before class, I'm like, "Did you pray before you ate?" And I'm like, "Didn't you read in Hezekiah chapter, you know, that you're supposed to pray before you eat or something like that?" And I don't know if he got his Bible out to start looking for it or something. So the Lord's getting me back here. Here we go. Hezekiah, there we go again. Ezra chapter 6 and verse 22. And notice it says there, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful, and what? And turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. You know, God can turn the hearts of kings. God can turn the hearts of those in leadership over us. You know, do we believe that? You know, it's so easy to skip over praying for our leaders. You know, but may we take time to pray for those that are in leadership over us. You know, even not just in very important time to think of right now. You know, and it makes me think that, boy, you know, Anthony Kennedy was a moderate judge, but I wonder if he saw, you know, if he sees the liberal justices and the decisions that they're willing to make, and I wonder if he said, boy, I better retire while there's actually hope of somebody, you know, conservative getting on the bench. I don't know what his motivation at this point was for retiring, but he's got to see the liberal decisions that some of those Supreme Court justices are willing to make. And even though he's a moderate, thankfully he was willing to, you know, retire at this time. You know, our nation needs prayer. And if we as God's people don't pray, who will? Who will? And God has given us that privilege to pray. You know, tonight, choose righteousness. That's a decision that we make every day throughout the day. To choose righteousness. We need to love God supremely. But yet, we need to take time to pray. Boy, pray for our leaders. Pray for those in our, I mean, not just the big leaders, but even those, the leaders at other levels that are making decisions. I mean, we've got big elections, you know, election coming up this fall. Elections have consequences. And are we willing? Do we really believe in prayer? You know, if we believe that God answers prayer, then what will we do? Well, hopefully we would pray, right? And tonight, even as we go to prayer, obviously we have important church requests to pray for, but may we remember as well to pray for our nation. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, Lord, the many that have fought, that are currently fighting for the freedoms that we enjoy. We just even pray for Aaron tonight that you would give him safety and just be with the transition, Lord, as he comes back and just help everything to run smoothly. Lord, we think of our president tonight, and Lord, we just thank you for someone that is, Lord, willing to stand up for certain aspects of righteousness. Lord, we just pray that you would give him the wisdom that he needs, even in this Supreme Court justice to be appointed. And we, Lord, think of our vice president and how he, Lord, claims to know you as his Lord and Savior. And we just pray you would help him to have a godly influence, Lord, upon all those around him. And we just thank you, Lord, that we could have the privilege of having somebody in that high of office that would, Lord, claim to know you as their Savior and, Lord, evidence it in his life. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray, Lord, that you would work in our country tonight. And, Lord, how much we need the gospel to be spread. Lord, we can choose righteousness by giving out, Lord, the way of righteousness to others. And, Lord, what a great impact that can have. Lord, we know that you sent the Apostle Paul to witness to even, Lord, those that were in great offices. And we just pray that you would help us to be that bold witness like the Apostle Paul was. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would bless our time of prayer and that you would use it to further your work. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.